Despide Norma Martínez. Gracias por su atención.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
También pueden escuchar el Informativo Pacífica de lunes a viernes a partir de las 9 de la mañana en los archivos de kpfk.org. Búsquenos bajo el nombre Informativo Pacífica en Audio Archives.
You can become a well-informed listener by starting your day listening to Informativo Pacifica every morning at 9 a.m. Just log on to kpfk.org, go to Audio Archives, and select Informativo Pacifica.
Hello, everyone out there in Freaker Land. Free Radio is having a birthday, as you heard, 15th birthday. The birthday party is at the Quimba on Saturday night from 6 to 11 p.m. We'd like you to have an extra way to celebrate by buying a raffle ticket and hopefully winning. And the winning prize would be to Pi Robert Norse, who has announced he is accepting pies in the face. So come and get your pie in the pusser for Robert Norse. Encourage your friends. The more you pay, the more you pie.
So, get away from me. Get away from me with that pie.
Anything you'd like to add for your freedom?
Robert has a special challenge to any city council member or former city council member to pie him in the face for a $100 donation to Free Radio. This is their chance to get back at him for all the times he's upset their precious decorum.
Come and get me, Sergeant Arms.
And that's a little bit of the kind of crap I've been encouraged to get involved with here in Free Radio.
I just have one more thing to say.
Oh, dear. She has another thing to say. Go ahead there, person.
It's with great reserve that I say this, that I especially hope I get to pie Uncle Dennis in the face as well for not allowing my friends to use the piano at the Quimba Saturday night. So he'd better get his stick together because my friends are not going to be playing music at the Quimba without cooperation and some consideration on his part.
There you have it. Vengeance and petty bullshit on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Arr!
And that so much is that. Now we're actually going to move to a real program soon, so don't go away. Here comes the actual Big as Life, Bathurst Spears Broadsides coming at you as usual. So stay tuned.
Down on Pacific Avenue on Friday night, March 5th, 2010.
Got this. Try to know what is the matter with us there. Can I get a witness?
variety of listeners, all of them legally standing up instead of sitting down, of course. Let me interview them. Gentlemen, are you standing here because you like standing up or because...
We were just looking at the bags of benches. Stuff on the chamber stand. What was in those?
So in other words, you're looking for a score on the street. Is that the story?
Well, maybe it's some sugar, cookies.
Yeah, I see. You think maybe something has been left behind for the poor and the cookie-less?
Yeah, and the cookie-less. You know, let's see. Last time I ate a carrot, it's been a while.
All right. Yeah. Applause. Well, that's what I came downtown to find out. Actually, I was going to get something to eat. But do you have any reports? We've been listening to the music of
Ricardo Lopez.
Ricardo Lopez. And what's been happening down here on Friday night? Anything of note? I see no armed uniforms. On the other hand, I see nobody sitting down next to a building.
So. That's because they've had. They're riding two cops deep. I want the citizens to feel safe. Evidently, there's no gang activity or any violent crimes or anything because they can afford to have two cops and the cars running in the right in the middle of Pacific Avenue while they jump out and give a kid a ticket who's playing guitar, but he's sitting down and leaning up against the pole, which is no man's land. But they give him a ticket anyway.
I don't think it's illegal to lean, but I think you must be at least 10 feet from a crosswalk, although the only crosswalk I can see is over there across Soquel Avenue between Borders and the New Leaf.
This corner has a unique law that applies only to it that says if you're on this side of the pole, you have to stand up. If you're on that side of the pole, you can sit down.
That's because of the change-making machine. We know that being within 50 feet of a change-making machine is criminal behavior in Santa Cruz.
Criminal behavior. I'm afraid it's a gateway crime is what it is.
All kinds of other sitting behaviors. Even sleeping can follow.
Yeah, sleeping in public could happen. Yeah, relaxing in general.
It's not really appropriate for people of your ilk to relax.
No. We better stay on our toes in this cruel town.
Indeed. Well, again, thank you. We've been talking with
Ricardo Lopez.
Señor Lopez, gracias.
And there's a tiny sample of the kind of street interview you'll be getting, perhaps more than you want, on this particular show, which airs twice a week. I do a Thursday show. You're listening to that show, 6 to 8. And then I do a Sunday show in the morning, 9:30 to 1 in the afternoon. Last Sunday, I did a kind of a double-barreled show because Thomas Levitt, who does my show before I come in, 2 hours of the wake-up call, as he calls it, was away. And unfortunately, for some reason, that show did not download properly. So those who missed the live experience were not able to later download it from the Huff website, which is a pity because it was a pretty good show in some respects. I'm working on it. I'm hoping to transfer it manually from a second recording onto the website. So for those of you who are really eager to hear what happened last Sunday because you were off doing something meaningless like, you know, wage slavery or, I don't know, community slavery or something of that effect, some sort of, you know, wage thing to support the lifestyle of your landlord, you'll be able to listen to this stuff at another time, hopefully at the www.huffsantacruz.org website. Right now, of course, you're listening to Freak Radio or Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org or perhaps live at 101.1 FM. I'm Robert Norris. The name of my show is Bath Robespierre's Broadsides. And, you're invited to be a part of the show. The call-in number is 831-427-3772. 427-3772. And, I'll be announcing that number throughout the program in hopes of coaxing one of you to give a quick call or maybe a long call, who knows, onto the ear. I'm kind of a little disadvantaged tonight. I'm having a little trouble. My computer actually came up. Excellent. I have a rather temperamental laptop, which is maybe seeing its later days, as, for example, its owner is. So we'll see how well that works during the show. But what we actually did today, we being myself and my two associates in the studio, I have with me... what's your name, sir?
Free or Freedom.
He's Free or Freedom, depending on... which kind of hippie-esque moniker you wish to give him. He actually, that's his real name. He went to court to change it. His sole legal victory and claim to fame in the legal world of Santa Cruz. But here's a man who's really interested actually in the law and wants to actually do an injunction guaranteeing the rights of street performers and actually, who knows, other people who like to speak their minds on the streets and sidewalks of Santa Cruz. Also in the studio with me is
Coral Reef,
the
Tangerine Dream Team, Tuesday night, 6 to 8.
She needs no introduction, as you can hear. And, of course, these are only three of the seven folks who came to the what was going to be the trial of Michelle Duyka at in the courtroom of Department 10. That's Commissioner Kim Basket, or Basket Case, as I sometimes cruelly call her, because of her tendency to, I think justice ends up in a basket in the basket's court. And I know she's a very nice person, or tries to be, I know, in her own way. But the fact of the matter is she's a fundraiser for the county, a revenue source. And I'm afraid that's at the expense of poor people throughout the county, and that doesn't impress me, particularly when those poor people are homeless people. And it's kind of disgusting what goes on in those courts. Today was no exception. Today we actually went there because, as some of you may know who follows the show regularly, the police were facilitating some hecklers who wanted to drive away, I guess it was a bunch of us, from protesting in our usual fashion, by which we mean petitioning, giving out literature, serving free food, talking to members of the community on Pacific Avenue, in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz, around the issue of homeless civil rights. In this case actually had to do with homeless deaths, the deaths of in the homeless community over the last year. And we were doing this on January 6th, and who should arrive but Officer Schoenfeld, and I played this in tape, played the audio of this and extensively commented on it in the past, who said that she'd gotten a complaint that we were singing the song, I guess the song which she was singing or that was being sung when she arrived was called Let It Snow, which is a sort of a, not a particularly loud song, but that two of us have been singing the song Downtown, with special Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom lyrics, Downtown. I guess the first verse I've sung so many times I've gotten a little tired of it, but the second verse, I believe, goes something, if I have it. I think actually I pulled it out yesterday but didn't put it away. And so I'll have to wait for another time to actually play it. But it's around, you know, when you're alone and rents are making you homeless, you can always go
downtown.
And that's perhaps the reason we got the unreasonably disturbing noise ticket, because of the questionable harmonics of some of the singers. Actually, it's interesting. There is this code section in the municipal code which talks about unreasonably disturbing noises as a way of dealing with really, you know, loud, disturbing sounds on the street. I don't know, like someone screaming when they don't want to give you a disturbing the peace ticket because that means a jury trial and a public defender. It's a misdemeanor. They come forward with this municipal code, which is only an infraction, supposedly a lesser crime, and they can give you simply, you know, drag you into one of these minor courts and sort of quickly do away with you and give you a $445 ticket. But unreasonably disturbing noises, it's not just notice disturbing noises, it's unreasonably disturbing noises. And the reason that word unreasonably is added is because something like a jackhammer downtown or even a motorcycle blaring through town is not considered unreasonably disturbing because under this code section, it not only has to be unreasonably disturbing and physically annoying to persons of ordinary sensitiveness, or harsh or so prolonged or unnatural or unusual in their place or manner or time as to cause physical discomfort, but they have to be not necessary in connection with a legal activity. So if you're riding a motorcycle which is legally loud, then even if it gives people, you know, a sense of being physically uncomfortable and is disturbing, it's not unreasonably disturbing. So similarly, if you're singing a song downtown that, you know, it's at a volume which is somewhat above perhaps the conversational level on the street, but the song is a political song which you're attempting to bring the community's attention to certain issues around. It may be disturbing to some people, but it's not unreasonably disturbing because you need to sing it at a certain volume to get the message out.
That's correct.
Now, if you sing it more loudly than that, let's say in order to break windows or to make dogs die, you know, that might be a little different. And I suppose that would actually probably provoke some concerns by a number of people rather than just, let's say, the heckler on the second floor who complained about us because he didn't like, it was a he actually.
And Sean Riley.
Sean Riley was his name, because he didn't like our message and he didn't like our song. And he actually made some false statements about the length of time we'd been there and whether he tried to communicate with us. And used the police. Actually, the police also used him. Officer Schoenfeld was the main culprit here. She's sort of a rookie, so maybe we can give her a little more slack. But she was essentially saying, well, because a man complains, you have to stop playing or I'll give you a ticket. And we said, look, we'll play more quietly. She finally said, okay, you play more quietly. But then she went and she essentially orchestrated the citation. And I actually have brought in the police report that describes this, and I'm going to actually turn to that in a moment. But, you know, I seem to get lost in a long description of this event every time I bring it up. Fact of the matter is, Michelle, who's an innocent bystander, came down from, she also lives in the St. George. I don't know if she's on the second floor or the third floor or whatever floor she's on. She kind of understood there was some commotion or concern, came down, and she was singled out by this guy on the second floor because she was essentially defending the right of the singers to sing. She hadn't been singing herself. She hadn't even been there. But I think that either the guy on the second floor, Sean Riley, made a mistaken identification or a malicious, intentional misidentification, because she got a ticket and she had to go to court, and her trial was the first trial coming up in this series of four trials. Four people were given citations, though originally Riley pointed out six people, according to the audio tape which Officer Schoenfeld made, which I actually reviewed about an hour before the show. Please often be aware of this. Do make a tape when you are talking with them, particularly if they're making a report or if they're, you know, interrogating you about something, or if, you know, even if they're being real friendly with you, their tape recorder can be on.
And well, that's ironic, Robert, because you can't tape them when you go down and complain in their lobby.
Oh, I can. It's just they stop serving me when I do. They've never attempted to arrest me, though they have a big sign, we don't allow audio or video recording in the lobby, unless, of course, we're doing it. I've always disregarded that, but the result has been that when I go in for public records, which they tell me are available for me there, they will not serve me because I pull out a tape recorder. And that's kind of discouraged me from coming into the lobby. So instead I've sent other individuals in who are interested in addressing this issue with them, and they serve them. But it's, it is differential. No question about it, Free. It's a differential there. But the important thing is you should know you have the right to tape record police officers. And even though a judge found recently that when I tape recorded a Metro security guard who was harassing me, that somehow, it wasn't that that's illegal. It didn't violate any law, but it somehow gave this officer the right to order me off the property. And because I didn't go, he had me arrested for trespass, even though it was the public Metro bus system. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong in this town, and some of it has to do with the collusion between judges and police. They really want to work closely with police, closely with security guards. And so I think they're kind of loath to criticize them, loath to find that they're wrong.
A lot of them are former DAs.
And, of course, many of the judges are former DAs who have a practice of...
It's a good idea not to
vote
for
even closer
DAs
with the police department.
Judges.
What's
that? You get the chance in elections, don't vote for a judge if they were a former DA.
You know, and that actually brings me to another issue. And that issue has to do with an upcoming election of judges that's coming up. I guess it's a spring election. I don't know. I think it's May. Maybe it's April. I'm not quite sure of that. But I know that I had a chat today with Ed Fry, who's the attorney who now will be defending Michelle. Michelle originally went to court without an attorney, and you were still wondering what happened to Michelle in court. Sorry,
that's right,
sorry, folks. We got a little lost here off track. Michelle was the first person to make a court date. She's a working person. She hasn't got time to deal with all this kind of crap, particularly since she wasn't out there to do any protesting. She wasn't out there to even to sing songs. She just came down to see what was happening, and she said a few words in support of people who are on the sidewalk who wanted to sing, and for which she was roundly punished with a false arrest, by the which I mean a false ticket requiring her to come to court. When she came, she went to court, made an arraignment herself, and then brought her friend with her to testify that she was nowhere near being on the sidewalk at a time when Sean Riley claimed that there was unreasonably disturbing noises wafting up to his window. On the second floor, which apparently it was open and he didn't want to close, or maybe his partner didn't want to close, or a friend didn't want to close.
So she went. Michelle went to court.
She went to court, and there were about five or six people who came with her, interested in the court, including attorney Ed Fry, who was not her attorney at that time, because she was sort of concerned about not wanting to make a big fuss about this. She felt it's simple. It's a matter of justice. I'll go in.
She's innocent.
I'll tell the truth. Yeah. I'm innocent. Of course, she should have known when she started out that if that had been the case, Schoenfeld wouldn't have written her a ticket in the first place, or would have said, we'll investigate this further before we do. And that's one of the problems with this case. They're writing citations against musicians, but when the musicians turn around and say, this is a false report, please write a citation against the person who's doing it for making a false police report, they don't take the ticket. They say instead, we'll refer it to the DA. But they don't say that to the person who wants to get the musician to move along. They don't say, we'll refer it to the DA to them. They move it along. It's kind of a cozy little arrangement the merchants, the residents, and the police have in order to further the culture war on Pacific Avenue, to create a different kind of Pacific Avenue. At least, that's my paranoid perception of what's going on. What do you think, Coral? I've got your mic. Well, you better share the mic.
Well, we were going to say what was interesting. She went into court, but then they claimed that her court date was a month before, and now they've already, doubled the fine.
They claimed that she's already got a fine, and it already all had been resolved. Actually, in other words, it was a judicial error. They told her, and I believe you were in court at the time they did tell her that. You went to the arraignment with mm-hmm. Michelle Free.
It was March 25th.
It was March 25th. But they wrote February 25th, and they found her guilty because even though, and this is another interesting fact, even though she wasn't there, the
officer wasn't there.
The
either.
Officer who was witnessing that wasn't there, nor was there any indication that the complaining party, Sean Riley, who was the real, certainly one of the two guilty parties. I say both Officer Schoenfeld and Riley share guilt in this matter, and hopefully will share some civil liability if they ever say if Michelle mm-hmm. wants to pursue it. If Michelle doesn't pursue it, I can tell you, if I get some support, I'll pursue it down the road. Although Michelle is, I think, a better case than I do, because Michelle is losing specifically scheduled teaching work time every time she has to come into court, because mm-hmm. these folks are either lying about her, or if they're not lying about her, the police are facilitating the suppression of singing on Pacific Avenue in a way that they should not be doing. It violates mm-hmm. the law, it violates the Constitution, the First Amendment.
And this can happen to anyone. Yeah. I mean, this was an innocent person swept
too.
Into a citation situation, sent to court, given the wrong date, and now she's guilty without even having a day in court. It's just absurd and a travesty of justice.
Well, the fact that it's also true that, the people at the court window said, we haven't yet sent this out to the collection service down south and ruined your credit rating and got your driver's license, put it in question, because I think that's a significant consideration that's used, or a significant consequence of not paying your fines. And they said, okay, we'll set a new court date for you. So I believe she is now...
April 6th.
She has a court date, right, thank you, April 6th in Department 10.
I think it's 1:30 again,
at
right?
I think so. I think that almost all the trials happen at 1:30. That's the basement of the county building. So I'll be announcing that closer to April 6th
and,
when it happens.
Ed Fry did graciously agree to take on her case.
Right, and of
rest.
Course, this is going to come up again tomorrow when there is a case that is on the calendar. We checked this at the window, and in a way, we probably checked it the day before. We didn't check to see if her case was on the calendar. We assumed that mm-hmm. since the court ordered it to be March 25th, that's when it would be. Becky Johnson's case is coming up tomorrow at 10 o'clock, not in Department 10, but in Department 1. And Becky Johnson is an activist who writes, who sings, who is a video journalist. She had her own TV show on community TV. And she is charged with the same crime that Michelle is charged with. And I guess that the homeless
guy Robert Facer is charged with, and that I'm charged with. I actually was charged with it as well. And these trials have all been separated. Her trial is coming up tomorrow. The judge refused to give her a continuance, although because she's now coming in with a lawyer, that may be reconsidered. It's possible. Ed Fry has agreed to represent Becky Johnson. Should be an interesting case tomorrow, calling it the Sinister Sidewalk Singing Citation Slaughter.
10 a.m. tomorrow in Department 1.
Right. If you want to get a little free, you know, vegan coffee cake and coffee. I don't know if the coffee is vegan, but it's going to be happening tomorrow in front of the courthouse at 9:30. Compliments of that jumbo gumbo man, Joe Schultz, is opening a new restaurant in Santa Cruz. That's 9:30 in front of the courthouse. Free breakfast of a kind. And then you get to see some free justice in the courtroom of Department 1, Judge Ariadne Simons.
So another interesting development with Becky recently showed you some of the dangers when you take on activist positions. Her tail. Someone put a pear and a sock in her tailpipe or something?
Some rags, I understand. Yeah. Right. This morning I got a call from Becky that when she got up in this morning, she's moving apparently, that outside her residence somebody had stuffed into the exhaust pipe of her vehicle a pear and some rags, which she luckily noticed, because otherwise it would have, certainly would have caused some damage to her car, I imagine. I'm not really an expert in vehicles, but... So it's kind of nasty. We don't know. It could have been some neighborhood kids, you know. Could have been some bigoted types who don't like what Becky does around homeless issues. Could have been some Palestinians denouncing her pro-Israeli government position. Could have been any number of things, but it's not good. And, you know, I'm concerned when this happens with activists. I guess when the air gets let out of the tires of the FCC when they come over here, I'm not too sympathetic. But I think local activists, even... Take back our town or take back Santa Cruz activists. I don't think I'd be happy to hear that happened to them either. So whoever you are who did that, if you did, don't do it. I mean, if you do it, you don't have my approval. I'll tell you that right now. Now, we also have with us today a malcontent who is fuming and wants to attack another Free Radio Collective member in a completely unjustified assault. Luckily, however, I'm the guy who usually lets God knows who on the air. However, I do have the... I guess I don't have it. I thought I had the... Yes, I do. I have the horn of disapproval. So if I find this too difficult, I'll start honking out poor Coral. Coral, do you have any comments you wish to make here, or are you going to just subside?
Hubba bubba.
Uh-huh.
This is the chicken talking. Called Hubba Bubba.
Yeah. Coral can get away with this kind of nonsensical babble on her show, but on my show we have a somewhat higher standard.
We have some props in the studio, and this chicken is sitting here.
Thank you,
his
Coral.
Name is Hubba
For
Bubba.
Those who'd like to call in and perhaps give Coral her medication, it would be appropriate to give a call to 427-3772.
Well, I'm drinking my tangerine juice.
And she also needs a little remedial speech work, but, you know, I've done that before, and I don't know what we're going to do. I'm babbling myself. So, you know.
Just ask me any question.
I've got no particular question. I had heard that this whole subject, before we leave the subject of the Sinister Sidewalk Street Singing. Again, let me just emphasize, come on down tomorrow, 9:30, get some breakfast in front of the courthouse. It's free. And then, you know, come into the courthouse and take a look at what your money's paying for, this kind of crazy, frankly, crazy shit, as how I would describe it, which is wasting people's time and causing, essentially, it also denies the community people's voices on the street. And you might say, well, who wants their voices? They don't sing so well anyway. And frankly, we're not the best singers in the world. But we're one of the few groups that do raise the issues of homeless civil rights in Santa Cruz. And I think that's an important thing. Coral, you are, of course, part of the Free Radio Collective. You have your own show. And actually, I enjoyed your show last night. The two of you did a great show, which actually talked
Thank
about...
Thank you. That was Tuesday night, 6 to 8.
Sorry, it wasn't yet last night. It was Tuesday night. Go ahead. Show me up, Coral. Show me up. I can take it. And which, you know, you had Attorney Ed Fry, and talking about these same cases, you know. I call them the Sinister Sing-Song Sidewalk Citation cases. So
How do you say all that alliteration so well?
Radio personality. It has to do with my sex life, but we're not going to get into that on the air. Let's talk about it later. We can discuss that. Is that a caller? No, that's not a caller. That's
a piano player calling.
That's Coral playing with her. I don't know what she's playing with here. Okay, so you had tomorrow at 10 o'clock, but also on Saturday there's going to be a special 15th anniversary Free Radio Santa Cruz event where a number of groups will be playing. I've been invited to give a four-hour speech, but I declined because they weren't paying my fee properly. Yes. So instead, I guess Free and Coral here cooked up a new event whereby I would be allowed to sample various kinds of pies at the request of local bakers who will be presenting them to individuals who pay sufficient amounts of money or win raffle tickets to that effect and can then, I suppose, as the saying goes, pie me in the pusser. So if this has been your desire all these years to just whop the schlop, right, and see some goop dripping from my beard, this could be your chance. So bring the big bucks to the Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective's 15th anniversary shindig birthday party. It's going to be happening 6 to 11:30 or something at the Kumbwa Jazz Center.
Or just come to see it happen. You know, we've been getting a lot of people that are a little hesitant on actually pushing the pie in your face, Robert. I think they might be afraid that they could get sued. So we'll have Ed Fry
I will
on
have,
hand.
I'll have an attorney standing by, particularly if Chris Krohn shows up. How sweet that would be, a second lawsuit against Senor Krohn. And along those lines, you know, as those of you who know, and there's a bit of humor here, but there's also some seriousness. I have, for those who know, been in the papers for this recently. I've been arrested at City Council for making dissenting gestures and speeches, which don't disrupt the council, but which the council just do not like. And so what they do is they stop the proceedings, they demand I leave the room or leave the podium.
A decorum clause or something?
They use decorum rules, particularly the new ones that were created in 2000 by Mayor Fitzmaurice at that time, but that are currently supported and have been made worse by Mayor Rotkin and will no doubt be made even worse by the new Mayor Coonerty when he comes in again in November, or is likely to come in again because he's the vice mayor.
I assume they don't allow you to throw pies in their face in city council.
You know, we had actually a pie in the pusser award that we awarded back in April of 2000, and I think there's a video of that that's really fun, and it made the Sentinel. We had a poll as to who is the worst council person on the council, and we were going to award them with the pie in the pusser award. And this is around the time when, you know, people were getting pied. That is to say, people like Milton Friedman. I don't know if Henry Kissinger ever got a pie, but I think, I don't know if Gavin Newsom or Willie Brown got a pie. Politicians who are particularly notorious for their bad activities around, because they're war criminals or they're, you know, abusive toward homeless people as political leaders. They got these pies, and there was a thing called the Biotic Baking Brigade that did this in the late 90s in San Francisco, and was rather severely punished for it, all out of proportion to any kind of damage that pie doesn't hurt you, just makes you look like an idiot.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's the whole point. And, you know, politicians are idiots, so it's for every once in a while the emperor has no clothes, and people say, see, hey, they have no clothes, isn't that great? And there's, you know, a moment of truth that happens. It's only usually pretty brief and doesn't last long, but it's there, and it's good when it does happen. So in 2000 in April, we polled people on the street. You know, who is the worst council member? And we calculated the poll, and we came up. There were the three people at the top were Mayor Sugar, Mike Rotkin, and maybe Cynthia Matthews. They were all on the council at that time. But, you know, we didn't want the other council members to be left out. We felt it would be kind of unfair to simply, because they were all pretty anti-homeless. I mean, they all had pretty nasty records in terms of, because if you may notice, the council colludes with all these anti-homeless, the sleeping band, for example, mm-hmm. colludes with it. Although Sugar and Crone did at one time, on one occasion, attempt to change it once. After that, they kind of subsided and then began repression as usual, or continued repression as usual. So we had a whole bunch of homeless people coming at the oral communications section of City Council talking about each council member in turn and describing their history around homeless activities and what they'd done. And it was sort of an educational thing. And I was really impressed with the way homeless people who were given scripts and hadn't read this stuff before went up there and they did it audibly, intelligibly, understandably. And then finally, Becky and I went up there because I was in a bathrobe. Actually, I wasn't in a bathrobe. I was in a. I had a chef's outfit on, and I had on a big chef's hat that was donated by Joe Schultz, I believe. And I had this pie in my hand, and it was indeed it was a pie. And I went up to the mic, and you know we finally became clear that the person who won was Mike Rotkin.
Obviously,
he was the winner, and so we asked Mike Rotkin to come down and accept his pie, you know, and because he was the winner, and Mike refused to come down to accept his pie. So
Saturday's his chance to get you with the pie.
Yeah,
I
think unfortunately Rotkin's going
to
be in New York. But yeah, that's
it's worth
true.
Canceling the trip. This is
yeah,
a
well,
once in a lifetime.
No, he's seeing his father. I understand. So you know he has a familial engagement.
Yeah,
but in any case, Fitzmaurice was sitting up there. He wasn't mayor at the time. Keith, a man named Keith Sugar, was. He's another attorney who turned out badly, and he Fitzmaurice was holding up a sign which had the symbol pi, you know, like in the mathematical symbol mm-hmm. pi, inside a circle with a line through it, indicating he didn't want to be pi. So that was kind of funny. And I thought Fitzmaurice was, and little did we know what Fitzmaurice would do the next year, which would bring us for 8 years in court with him. But in any case, Sugar said, this is not the time for pieing. This is the time for oral communication. And so we interrupted Mayor Sugar, and we said, again, we're still doing our oral communication, so we weren't being disruptive. I want you to notice. I don't think there's anything wrong with being disruptive in many respects, but that's not the approach I use, mainly because I'm sort of a chicken shit around these issues. I want to be able to keep coming back to city council. I don't want to spend a lot of time in jail and in court. And I often speak out as a lone voice. I mean, if there were
very ironic, Robert.
It is, isn't it? You know, I mean, disruptive means stopping the proceedings until they actually do redress human rights abuses, which is really that has happened at City Council a couple times. But I wasn't the instigator of it. I'm usually just saying, "Can I have my 2 minutes, sir, please?" And I usually get slapped down. Oh, we created a new rule, the Norse Rule 47, that says you can't do that. I say, "Oh, okay, well." And on occasion I said, but wait a minute, I have the right to be here under the Brown Act. I have the right to be here because of the First Amendment. Whatever I'm saying, and of course I get hauled out. And I've never been convicted of disrupting a city council meeting in that way here in Santa Cruz. But I get arrested, I get stopped from speaking, and people, I get the reputation for being this, you know, really questionable, shadowy, borderline character. Anyway, Rotkin. He was called down. He was going to say, come on down, take your pie. Rotkin declined to accept the honor. So Becky Johnson took the pie from my hand and said, well, accepting the pie in Rotkin's behalf will be Mr. Robert Norris. And she pushed the pie right into my face. Now, I you may wonder why I don't see too much of Becky these days. Well, you know, things like that kind of they get on your nerves. And actually, no, we had arranged it beforehand. That's what we were going to do. They had 22 police officers in the next room. It was actually, somebody was arrested beforehand. He was taken into that room, and he counted them. There's a little room right next to the city council chambers. They had 22 cops there, according to James Ney, who was the fellow who was arrested. He was eventually released without charges.
And only one pie. If they had known, you could have brought more.
Well, you know, they expected this was going to be a big scene, whether it be a big riot or something, or I would, you know, I don't know. Pull out other pies. I don't know what the story is. So it actually was a kind of a fun thing. So if you want a pie, me, you will have your chance if you win the raffle or if you want to contribute a sum of money to Free Radio Santa Cruz. I think that's going to be decided by the pie masters. And actually,
well,
I get
the raffle winner at their discretion. I think we will auction off a final pie afterwards.
I see.
So you could get pie twice.
So it could be a couple. You could be your opportunity to do a little pieing or to witness the pie-ish activity there.
Yes, so someone really, really wants the pie, they can take it in the auction.
So there you go. I you know, it's not as much fun as an enema, and it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really get on the rise to the level of a lynching, but it is a form of sort of childish, adolescent, you know, schoolyard satisfaction, which. I think it's probably why you proposed it yourself
that's
originally.
Right. Just
free.
Immature here.
Yes, you immature dog. So that's going to be happening at City Council coming up. Come and pie in the pusser, the I don't know, gadfly of your choice. Santa Cruz's greatest, most hated villain.
It's city council's chance to step up here. You know,
Metro has this yearly award, which I often win, which is best villain. That's the best villain. I don't know what the heck that best villain.
And you've even offered to throw in a personal Nazi salute to qualified council members.
He's adding things, folks. We'll see. If the money is good, we possibly. I will not wear a codpiece, so we're not going. We'll leave it at that.
He may have a pirate eye patch.
But
on
you
for
should
protection.
Remember, all kidding aside, folks. Free Radio Santa Cruz has invested a significant amount of money in this questionable birthday party, which I actually didn't vote for, and they are going to be in. They may be in somewhat more difficult financial straits unless they can come out of it at least breaking even. So if you come and, kick down a little money, it helps the station. So think about that. It also can have some fun. You can listen to some music. You can pieing here and there. It's worth considering. And that is going to be on Saturday night, day after tomorrow, Kumbois Jazz Center near between the Bagelary and the Poet and the Patriot on Cedar Street. So check it out.
Come by to see, if nothing else.
Now, I think I want to, I wanted to also extend an invitation, and I think in order to do that, I'm going to have to find my notes, which...
Ramshackle rabble-rousing in the studio as we shuffle around for papers, doors, closing, opening. And here comes Robert. Here he comes. He's coming through the door. He's coming around the corner. We're keeping you tuned in to the latest and breaking news.
I knew I was missing something. I think half of my goods were in the hallway. But I actually did have another chat with Ed Fry, again, who's not only an attorney who's helping out a lot of activists and people these days, that strikes me and impresses me, and thank you, Ed, for doing that. But also, he is going to be on Voices from the Village with a special program coming up this Sunday night. I took a few notes.
That's Channel 27?
On Channel 27, it has to do with he will be asking questions of the judicial candidates. There are two judgeships. I'm sorry. I think you catch my drift. There are two judgeships. There we go. Open in the special election, and on March 28th at 7 p.m. on Sunday, and I think that's the right date, it's the Sunday show, two races will be, you can ask questions of each of the folks who are running in both these two races. One of them, there are three candidates, John Gallagher, Phil Crawford, and...
Stephen Wright.
No. Jim Sibley. And on the other race, it is, as you say, Stephen Wright and... I think it's Rebecca Connolly. I only know, in this case, I think I've heard of Sibley, who's a DA or a...
Oh, well, don't vote for that one.
That's always risky to vote for a DA. And then Stephen Wright is either a public defender or a private attorney who was concerned with, had a lot of, criminal defense cases, which, frankly, I tend to have more sympathy for, although I've met a lot of crappy defense lawyers, and I've seen a lot of public defenders sell out their clients in Santa Cruz, or at least have had a lot of criticism, and they don't seem too open to criticism. These public defenders, they're so busy, they give you 2 minutes in the hallway and then plea bargain you to death. So, anyway, but you can ask questions, and you can ask questions of Ed Fry before the show, in order to transfer and to...
You can take a call to Huffline, right?
Can communicate...
He offered his phone number if you have a question for a judge.
Yes, to communicate those questions to Ed. We'll be doing having all these five folks on his show, or on Charlie Phillips' show, actually. You can give him a call, and here's the number, so get out your pencil and paper to write down Ed Fry's number in case you have questions for the upcoming judgeship candidates. You know, I really have a very low opinion of most of the judges here, so I don't mind using rather strong language to describe them. I really think they hurt a lot of people.
Well, there are some good ones, though.
Really? Name one, please.
Oh, the one we saw, Volkman.
Judge Volkman did make an okay decision regarding Anna and Miguel, the two hopeless street musicians. But I don't know if I'd call him a good judge because he made one good decision. You know, maybe if he overturned the sleeping ban, maybe if he dumped the stupid injunction that they still have to run around every night worrying that they'll be arrested for sleeping. This is two homeless musicians that you may have read about in the Sentinel that we were doing protests at the courthouse last week about. No, I don't know about Volkman. I do know I'm glad he did that. And I also want to, again, distinguish, a lot of these judges are personally very amiable. I mean, I like Tom Kelly a lot, but that didn't stop me from calling him Kangaroo Kelly and for, you know, holding him accountable for a lot of homeless misery because he found that the homeless sleeping ban in Santa Cruz was constitutional because people could sleep during the day.
Time, place, and manner.
An absurd decision, which the Jones decision in federal court has repudiated. Even though it's not citable as precedent, it is the basis for an extensive settlement and changes in the laws and police practices in a number of cities, such as San Diego and Laguna Beach and Richmond and other places. But not Santa Cruz, where Mayor Rotkin insists on keeping the sleeping ban under the fiction that it is an important police tool and that it doesn't really discriminate against people. It's not really wrong to say you can't sleep after 11 o'clock at night. On any public property or in your vehicle, even if it's properly and legally parked and your vehicle is licensed. We have medieval laws in Santa Cruz. Don't let anyone tell you differently. But again, give a call to Ed Fry, 479-8911, 479-8911. If you have a question for any of these candidates, Rebecca Connolly, Stephen Wright, John Gallagher, Phil Crawford, or James Sibley. And I'm sorry, apologize if I've mispronounced any of your names. You can also leave a message for me. You can do that on the Huff line if you're nervous about calling Ed Fry for some reason. I'll try to pass it on to him. The Huff line is Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. It's 423-HUFF, 423-4833 is the number to call for old. For any questions you want to leave about that or actually other issues around the show. If you want to be a guest on the show, if you have any thoughts about what you've heard, or if you want to call in directly, you can here. The show here is reachable immediately, and you'll go on the air, 427-3772 is the call-in number here. So think about that. Let's take one of our historical musical breaks. So I can get my bearings and move forward with power and vigor. Let's see if I can find something suitable for our musical moment. Well, let's try this. See if this floats your boat.
Sang this song to me.
that was a special cut from the Jugtown Pirates, which I played before. They were a group I ran into on the streets of Santa Cruz not too long ago, actually probably about half a year ago. On the line, we do have a caller. Hi, caller. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm good. If you're not listening on your radio, right? You're listening on the phone or something?
I'm on the phone, man. You can turn the radio on if you want.
No, radio is on, but we don't want your we don't want feedback, and we always.
I was telling my friend that. Oh, hey, what I wanted to talk about was how the police, and the system here is stealing people's RVs, creating homeless, whatever, man. I have an RV, and just like, a little over 3 weeks ago, I was woken up at 6:30 in the morning, and they said they were towing me away for, because I was in a parking area, right? It was parking, and what it was, there was already grass grown over, and it isn't a parking. It's an old thing. It's right on Hubbard Street, right? And anyway, they told me, they said because of that, and then when I get it out of the tow yard, they said it's because of expired tags. But my tags aren't expired for 6 months. Anyway.
Huh.
And then, listen to this. On the 4th of January, I went to the parking office to clear up my parking tickets. You know how parking tickets and RVs are in Santa Cruz anyway. But anyway, I'm clearing up a bunch. I got like over $1,000 in tickets that I've paid. All these copies here, already. But anyway, I got it down to 4. And, I've already had some experience before.
Hold it. An officer had a ticket.
Maybe you can't hear you.
You can't hear me, I guess. Can you hear me?
Pardon me?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was trying to interrupt you.
An officer had given me a ticket on 12/18/09, right?
Wait a minute.
And after this, caller.
Are you on a speakerphone?
No, sir. I'm on a cell phone.
Okay, good, because I want to make sure, because I occasionally kind of try to interject with questions about what's going on. You say four, when you said four, did you mean $400 you got left or four tickets left? Or I'm sorry, that was a question I had when you were saying you were dealing with $1,000 worth of tickets. And sorry?
I said I spent $500 getting out of tow then, right? But I'm saying that when they put the boot on, I'm saying you have four tickets, right?
I see.
That I got down my tickets to four.
Okay.
And I would always keep track and make sure I don't want a boot put on my vehicle again, right?
Uh-huh.
And then after not knowing about it, right, I'd already cleared up and gotten to four where I'm not on the boot list. An officer had given me a ticket on 12/18/09, right?
Uh-huh.
I was ticketed. And the ticket, he didn't turn in until the 13th of the next month. So I didn't know about it because I was in the parking office on the 4th and clearing up tickets to get there. And I would have wanted to pay some of my tickets in February except for getting wrongfully towed even then. You know what I mean?
Now, do you,
I can't even, I'm not even able to clear up my tickets.
Caller, do you live in your vehicle or is it just...
I was living in my vehicle,
gotcha.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
And so that's what I'm saying, how they create people homeless in this town over wrongful things, man. I mean, I've spent like $3,000 the last year and a half keeping my RV out of tow yards and boots.
Huh.
And I'm just telling you how this incident happens on my boot, and I'm going to lose my vehicle right now, they ticketed me after I had been to the parking office to clear up and make sure I wasn't
understand.
On the boot.
I understand, caller. So what's your next step? What do you plan to do, if anything?
Well, my next step is they're going to take my vehicle.
And so you...
I don't know, it's just illegal thievery. That's all it is, man.
How are they going to... Caller, how are they going to take your vehicle? What are they going to do to... I mean, have you...
Well, I don't have $600 more to give them. I just gave them $500 a few weeks ago.
So,
getting it wrongfully towed.
So your vehicle is in the tow yard right now?
Well, it's going to be. I was trying to get some more time to them until I got paid, and they won't wait.
So you're a working...
So
you're a
they're
going to
tow
a,
my...
Caller?
Pardon me?
Caller, you're a working person?
Yes, sir.
What kind of work do you do?
I do electronics repair.
And how long have you been in the Santa Cruz area?
I've been here off and on since 1980.
Wow. So it's not like you're some kind of newcomer who's just driving through. Right. So has this happened to other people you know?
Well, I hear of all stories about people talking about, well, there's some more legal robbery. I mean, you know, I could probably name a whole bunch, go back in the back list, you know. I mean,
this isn't the first time that I've actually heard this is happening. And I know I've been trying to get kind of a, I don't want to call it a bill of rights, but a series of procedures that people should use to challenge this kind of shit. I know that John Golder was losing his vehicles, and he actually worked on this as a very worked on it in terms of all the legal ins and outs and how you can fight back. But it's really
would like to hook up with you, man, because I was towed away for the same thing a year and a half ago for expired tags, and it wasn't 6 months even then.
Did the police have a problem with your living in your vehicle? Have you been threatened for that reason?
No, never.
And have you ever gotten a sleeping ticket for being,
asleep? No, sir.
And where do you usually sleep at night when you were?
I'd usually park north of town, or I usually stay at friends. And that's been the biggest problem with a lot of tickets. I've had a lot of tickets staying at friends' houses, and they ticket my vehicle and say it's an abandoned vehicle and, blocking or whatever. I had one ticket that was almost $200. And all I was parked for 2 days.
Now, let me ask you,
in front of where a girl lives.
Let me ask you, what kind of a vehicle do you have? Is it a hippie-ish bus? Is it a truck?
It's an old RV, 79 Jamboree, and they don't take a liking to old RVs, I think.
So, it's just not up to date. No, you got one of them old funky vehicles.
Right. I don't look like Grandma and Grandpa. No, sorry.
So you're some bearded weirdo or something like that? Like me, maybe, possibly. Yeah.
Just another brother, man. That's all,
We, we've tried to start a vehicular residence association. We called it, what's it called? How? Homeless on Wheels. It's really hard for people to get together on these issues, even though they share a lot of common interests. You'd think they want to stand up for each other and support each other. But if you're interested, and you want to give out a number where you can be reached, and you want to...
Yes. I will. You have my number, right?
I don't know if I have your number. I got a couple calls. Did you call me earlier in the day?
No, I didn't. I had left a message a few times this week, but I'd never heard a response.
Yeah, I don't think I either didn't get through to me, or because I got a couple messages today that were garbled and didn't have a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like, if you want to give out your number publicly, you can do it now. If you want, you can give a call, and this is true for anybody else. 423-4833, 423-HUFF is the phone number.
Here, write down 423-HUFF. Yeah, I'd rather give my number privately.
Yeah.
423-HUFF.
Right, I don't know. I got to tell you honestly, and what's your name, caller?
My name is Willard Morrison.
Willard?
Yeah.
Well, Willard, I'd like to encourage people to organize and fight this stuff, but I don't have a lot of resources to give them other than, I'll be supportive.
Well, I'd love to show you some paperwork and everything, man.
Well,
wrongful things that have happened, man.
Well, what I would encourage you to do is to actually write about this stuff and also talk to other people in vehicles to see if they're in a similar situation and want to fight back. Many people in vehicles, I think, are experiencing similar problems, but the problem
right.
they have is that, like you, they're afraid of, harassment if they raise their heads up too high, exactly. and that sort of thing.
Exactly.
And I also got a guy in the studio with me who has some thoughts on this. Free, what do you think?
Yeah, people are afraid of this. The same thing happened to Michelle. She spoke up for your singing, and she got in trouble with the law.
Yeah.
Is somebody talking to me? Oh, he's talking to you. Somebody else. All right.
I can hear you, too.
Yeah, no, we're all talking here together, so yeah.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's okay.
I wasn't here.
So, Willard, if what you really want to do is talk to other people in vehicles and have a meeting with them to see if they are experiencing similar problems.
Oh, that'd be great. I would love to talk with people. If you, connect me to any, write Well,
well yeah, but see what I'm saying. You're the one who's got to do the legwork. You got to go. You got to go around to the other vehicles and make the contacts. I mean, I can put out the word here on the air. All you folks in vehicles, you know, Crow.
Right.
I know some folks who do have vehicles.
No, but what would be helpful though, Robert, man, is just show me where to do my legwork.
Well, you know, I mean, I can. We can
give me a hand. I don't know nothing.
Sure, we can talk about it
I'm
more.
I'm just a dumb hick from Arkansas.
Well,
man.
Welcome to Santa Cruz, Mr. Arkansas, man. No problem. You know, I think anybody who's out there who is in a vehicle, if you want to give a call to 423-HUFF, if you want to be a part of an organization that our man Willard here is going to be the president of, apparently. you know, you give a call to 423-HUFF, and I'll hook you up with Willard, and maybe something will happen. But I got to tell you, my own, you know, I'm
okay,
willing to
cool.
Yeah, I mean,
cool.
I'm willing to help a little, but I'm, you know, I'm doing all 133 things it
maybe
feels like.
Maybe we get John Golder involved.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
I
hear you, man.
Yeah, okay, well, look, anything else you want to
say?
I'm going
to leave my number, Ryan. I'm going to call 423-HUFF when I hang up and leave my number.
Another thing
and
you can,
I hope to hear from
you. Yeah, another thing you can do, Willard, is tomorrow at the courthouse, we will be having a free breakfast. You know where the courthouse is, of course.
Yeah.
Come to the breakfast, and you might meet some folks who also have vehicles who are concerned about this. It's happening
what
at 9.
What time is this?
Happening about 9:15, 9:30 in front of the courthouse.
Okay.
And then you can, if you want, you can come into the court and see what's going on with a woman who actually has been supporting people in vehicles and people outside vehicles who are homeless.
Oh, I love that. How about I'll do that, and I'll see you there tomorrow.
Do both.
Morning.
Do both. Give me a call, and also come on over.
Okay.
You need to fight.
All
433-HUFF, right?
423-HUFF.
All right, later.
Hey, thanks, Willard. Bye-bye. And phone lines are open. 427-3772 is the call-in number. And here's another one of them musical numbers that we can fill a little air time with.
From one who's traveled and never start rambling round. So once you get the Roman fever, you never want to settle down. Boy, you never want to settle down. I met a little girl in Frisco, asked her to be my wife. I said that I was tired of roaming, I want to settle down for life. Then I heard the whistle blowing and knew it was a ripoff train. I left that gal beside the railroad and never saw the gal again. Boy, I never saw the gal again. I travel to everywhere. I've been on every branch line railroad. I ain't never paid no nickel fare. I've been from Maine to California, Canada to Mexico. And I never saved no money. And now I got a place to go. Boy, and now I got a place to go. So listen to a boomer story. Pay attention to what I say. I hear another train not coming, so I guess I'll be on my way. So would you do me a favor, or when they lay me down and die, stick my grave beside the railroad, so I can hear the train go by. So I can hear the train go by.
I can hear the train go by.
I hear the train go by.
I hear the train go by.
I hear
hear the train go by.
I hear the train go by. I said, dig my grave beside the railroad, so I can hear the train go by. I said, dig my grave beside the railroad, so I can hear the train go by.
So, sorry. Here we are, and that was another number from them, Jug Band Pirates. You turn to Free Radio 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org, and I am really busily queuing up another tape to get to, but having a little, it's a little lead time getting into that. So, what do we got here? Well, as I said, I always want to emphasize ongoing events, and the event that's coming up tomorrow is the trial. And although we may get it continued of Becky Johnson, she really needs more time, and it's a horrible judge. But the issue is an important one, the right of people to sing political songs on the street. But then after that, there's going to be the next day, the free radio benefit. And for those of you who like this kind of show, want to be able to call in and do what caller Willard just did, you got to keep the station going. Although it is a free birthday party, so if you ain't got no money, you can still come and listen to the bands and enjoy the scene. And it's open to everybody. So that's going to be at the Kumbwa Jazz Center tomorrow. I'm sorry, on Saturday. Tomorrow at 9:30 is a free breakfast. And that's going to be happening in front of the courthouse and then a trial. 9:30 the breakfast, 10 o'clock the trial of Becky Johnson. Interesting stuff is happening in Fresno, for those of you who are sometime followers of this whole issue. Fresno is a city that actually, where homeless people won $2.3 million in a lawsuit around the issue of people like Ranger John Wallace taking their property. There's a lot of active Fresno homeless advocates supporting homeless people. They put out maps to homes that have been foreclosed on in December. I'm still waiting for an update on whatever happened to that. When the city tried to close down homeless encampments, they came out and fought back and did public protests that delayed the whole situation, and people moved to other places. So they are really working in Fresno around the issue. And there's some interesting emails on that, which I may get to, and we'll see if that happens. And I want to thank Coral and Free for coming in. They're the masterminds behind the Pie and the Pusser Award coming up on Saturday night. For those of you who find that an amusing prospect, we'll see how well they... Claire Coral says, if it's okay with Uncle Dennis. And we'll find that out when he comes into the studio, because Uncle Dennis, actually, his show follows mine. And that's going to be in about 50 minutes here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. So let's see how we're doing with perhaps some street interviews. I think we have a couple of street interviews coming up. I'm hoping this is something we haven't played before. We'll have to check it out.
It's around 10 to 5 down here at the Drum Circle. And who should I run into but Rene and her two questionable associates enabling naked women and wild dancing and vending of jewelry without a business license. I mean, what's next? Free speech? Good grief. So.
We know your time. We've seen you in the paper.
What is your name, Mr.?
We posted your picture on Facebook.
Well, it's about time somebody posted my picture. Just don't post my genitalia.
Did you see your picture?
No, I haven't seen it. I'm not sure which picture.
Sweet.
Oh, I saw my picture in the paper, but it was also in the... they've been doing a couple stories on me recently.
I heard about it.
Not enough stories on other issues, but...
I want more stories, Robert.
Well, Well, I think, I mean, you're out here actually giving away food and, you know, enticing people into playing chess.
My stories are jealous of your stories.
My stories are better than yours.
Well, so what do you want to know?
Well, what do you want to say?
It's just another day at the drum circle. You know, last week somebody collapsed on their drum. And
Eric.
Did you find out the end result?
Told us drum circle Dave said his name was Derek. Wasn't sure of his last name.
Did he pass or did he make it?
No, he died. I'm told he died. You know, death awaits for us all, my sweet.
That was like the hugest, intense spiritual day here at Drum Circle was last week. Courtney doesn't have anything on that. Courtney is Naked Dancing Girl, who happens to be on my last ministry card, featured with clothes on, though.
Chicken. So what about this rumor about you and John Lane running away together?
And before we get on to more slander against poor Renee Curry, who is really a fine person who does a street ministry. She's at the drum circle, gives out food, plays chess, gives out burritos, clothing, and also does the same thing on Sunday in front of Borders. Thank you. I'm being served water here in this studio, of course, little pieces of toilet paper in it. Dear, dear. I guess I don't have to wait for the pie and the pusser for Saturday. I can get it beforehand. Renee is really a person who's concerned with people's welfare on the streets, and I think their rights to some extent, though. Frankly, there's a heavy dose of Christian bullshit in there, too. Although with her, it's not bullshit. It's how she really regards, you know, the importance of human beings. We're all being one family and so forth. I have a lot of kidding activity with her. She spends some time talking to council members. There's this thing coming up called, what is the word? It's Operation Contact or something. I don't think I have the right word. It's on the 30th of March, and it has to do with a day at the Civic Auditorium when homeless people can go between the hours, I think it's 11 and 3, 10 and 3, and get haircuts and shaves and get their feet washed and, I don't know, get food, connected up with services, dental work, one day a year, and it's supposed to be the big, you know, the wonderful answer to the failure of the other 364 days. Or, you know, maybe it's not. Maybe it's supposed to be a model for what might happen. And Renee has been, consorting with council members like Don Lane, who've hung around homeless services for years, and is on the board of directors, as well as being on the city council, and who, you know, even though at the same time as he supports any homeless laws, he likes to, you know, parade forward as being a big supporter of the homeless. And that's what I'm jesting about. But we have a caller here, so let's see what the caller says. Hello, you're on free radio. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, turn down your radio if you got one on.
I don't got one on.
Is this Willard again?
Huh?
What's your name, caller?
I'm Shorty. JJ's brother.
Say it again. Talk more slowly.
I'm Shorty.
Shorty. Hey, Shorty.
Hey. I'm calling you to see if I can get some papers.
Oh, right, Shorty. I know you're a man who gives out and sells Street Spirits, the homeless monthly newspaper. And the answer is sure. Come tomorrow to the courthouse at 9:30. There's free breakfast, and I'll bring some Street Spirits, and we're going to be, you know, going in to support a homeless activist.
Hey, hang on, bus is going by. I can't hear you. Okay, what now?
Again, come to the courthouse tomorrow at 9:30.
Okay.
And we're going to be supporting a homeless activist in court. We'll also be serving a free breakfast on the steps of the courthouse. So I'll be there. You can meet me there, and I'll have some Street Spirits for you.
All right, cool.
How are police treating you out there?
No, I'm all right. All right. They haven't been messing with me lately.
Uh-huh.
So it's been all good.
Well, that's nice.
I was hoping you could be downtown and I get some snacks. I was hoping to have some snacks so I could get some heat and stuff.
I didn't catch all that, but I think the best time to catch me is tomorrow in the morning.
Okay.
And I'll be there. You show up, and, you know, you'll get them.
Okay, cool.
Free breakfast, too.
All right, thank you, Robert.
All right, man.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. And phone lines are open, 427-3772. And, you know, the Street Spirit is a newspaper which Becky Johnson and I used to write for, and actually I still do pass on my stuff to the editor. It's put out by the American Friends Service Committee, and it's got a lot of interesting stuff in it. It's gotten smaller, and it's still available for homeless people to sell, usually for a buck or for whatever you can get for it. And if you want copies to sell, call the Huff line, 423-HUFF, and we'll arrange to get together or come to a Huff meeting, which happens every Wednesday at 10:30 in the morning, between 10:30 and 12:30 at the Sub Rosa Cafe at 703 Pacific Avenue. And let's pause, not for a musical break, let's continue listening to this. I think this is a tape from the last drum circle, which was three or four days, actually it was a couple of days ago. And Courtney, and we referred to a naked woman. Courtney is, as indeed, she was naked. She was looking good. And she was unmolested by Sergeant Harms, for whom I wrote a commendation for his behaving in a civilized and enlightened manner. But, of course, I also had to condemn him in the same letter for he and officers Winston and Forbes harassing Courtney's associate, who is a jeweler, a street craftsperson who was displaying his artwork for sale, or for donation, actually, would be the proper word, and he was getting hassled for not having a business license. It seemed to me that because they couldn't go after Courtney, they went after him. Now, maybe I'm just being a little paranoid, who knows. But I haven't seen them going after many people displaying jewelry the way he was on Pacific Avenue, and I wondered what the hell they were doing, and so did Courtney. He was very upset. That's a flashback to the week before. This is, again, my conversation with Ron A., who is got a good heart.
The city council member and former mayor, the bogus pseudo-homeless supporter.
I love Don Lane.
There you are, folks. You heard it here first. Wait till Scott hears about this. Scott is her so-called husband.
It's not even like that. He's just a really great, nice, workable, supportive guy.
Yes, I like the way he supports all the ordinances the Downtown Association wants to impose on the homeless. He's very supportive of that.
I do not know politics, Robert. It's all Greek to me.
We will teach you.
Do you want me to tell you why?
Tell me what?
Why it's all Greek to me.
If you like.
I'd have to preach to do it.
Better say that again. It sounds like a bad joke.
I'd have to preach to do it.
You'd have to preach. All right. Well, Aramaic is my problem. All right, we'll leave you. And how come you're not taking it all up like that person over there? Are you ashamed of your body, running?
Absolutely.
There we go. Christian guilt and shame attacking a perfectly good soul. How can we cure you of this?
You can.
We probably can, but it needs your cooperation.
It's all a part of the fall.
Of what?
The fall.
Icky poo is all I can say. If you're talking about the hooly bibble, I have nothing more to say at this time. Except Zeus is my strength.
Well, thank you for recording what you have.
You're welcome. So there's been no news. Looks like a very successful drum circle.
And please don't edit me. Don't edit me, Robert.
I never edit you. Of course, I could fondle you if you wish.
Robert, I thought we'd gotten past that in our relationship.
So much for my lewd suggestions. Thank you, Renee.
God bless you, Robert.
And may humanity be with you.
Thank you.
We're talking to that recently aired musician,
Mikey Ratt.
And Mikey, you were on Free Radio recently.
Yes, I was.
And you know Courtney, the naked babe in the tree?
I do know Courtney. She's a very sweet girl. She just decided to take off her clothes, and she said something about fuck the police.
And actually, this is, I said it was the most recent drum circle. It's actually a week ago. It was the drum circle where Courtney did beautiful weather, warm weather, great crowd. Just took off her clothes just to enjoy the weather. And the police were over there, and they didn't harass her. As I said, they harassed her friend, and this is what some of the conversation was that followed.
But she probably didn't mean engage in sexual embraces with the police.
No, but she did rub her ass on the cop car when Harms, the Sergeant Harms, Officer Sergeant Harms.
Sergeant Harms.
Yeah, for... He rolled through, and she was dancing around his car naked, and he was laughing, and she was laughing, and it was funny.
Sort of a fertility dance around Sergeant Harms' car.
She rubbed her butt up against the fender of his car.
Now, did you see the whole incident when the car...
I saw the whole thing, dude.
Did the police come because she was here? You think they drew? That was what drew their attention?
No, they're doing a role for the... Those criminal marijuana smokers.
Aha. So you think they were... Did they give out...
They do a regular sweep through the drum circle because they're trying to break us up.
But they don't seem to be very successful.
They can't stop this.
Now, who is this? What is your name?
Ciara.
And Ciara, what have you got to say about this?
It's fun.
Where's my hug? She's looking doubtful. She's laughing. Would you like a hug?
Sure, I'll have a hug.
I grabbed it. It's St. Patrick's Day.
Let's get an Irish tip.
So, were you here earlier? Are you a normal drum circle attender?
No, this is the first time here.
And what do you think? What's your impression?
It's fun. Good time. Good people.
And are you a downtown worker, a student? What is
I'm a UCSC student.
And how long have you been studenting?
4 years.
So you finally came downtown, eh?
No, I'm always downtown, just never here.
Now, any issues on campus? Have you been involved with, like, any of the protests?
No.
So you're here for the fun times.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say to everybody out there? He's got a great smile, folks, but this is radio.
Oh, we're on the radio here, right now.
No, you'll be on the radio tomorrow night or Sunday morning.
Okay, well, yeah, no, I don't know what I want to say to everybody, but come on down and have fun.
Thank you, baby. The drummers are breaking out into the parking lot. This looks like the biggest drum circle yet. The scent of sage. I think there was earlier a scent of marijuana. There's a bit of a littery scene over here under the other tree. And my sign, Free Judgment Day Breakfast, is still up. Well, nakedness makes me smile. That's all I can say. Nice work, drum circle, and nice work, Courtney. Well, we're downtown on Pacific Avenue, or near. It's around 8:20. A lot of folks are out. The warmth of the day has become cooler. Sliver of a moon in the sky. Lots of folks on the side streets. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Any comments for Free Radio? Anything you wish to say to your generation of listeners?
No, but thank you for passing out those sheets earlier today.
Oh, yeah, the Anna McGill thing.
Yeah.
Come on Friday morning if you want the free munchies.
I want to see what happens. I really believe that we can make a difference, you know, by not letting these Nazis get away with pushing people.
That's our city attorney you're calling a Nazi.
Oh, no.
Nazi schmuck.
And, of course, what we're talking about here is the Anna McGill injunction, which, interestingly enough, was ruled... the injunction is still in force. This bans two homeless musicians from sleeping downtown at night or camping during the day if they intend to remain overnight and they set up a campsite. But they were falsely taken to court and accused of being in contempt of court and faced jail by a couple of cops, Winston and Forbes, whose names are not unknown to those of you who regularly listen to this show or frequent the downtown, for sleeping during the day with their possessions near them. And Forbes and Winston claimed this was setting up a campsite, which, of course, was preposterous. One wonders why Barisoni, the city attorney, even thought about bringing it in. But apparently they think that the anti-homeless tone is so strong they can bring in any sack of shit, you know, and call it, a bag of gold, and that everybody will believe it. But Judge Volkman, who was a judge praised, you may have heard in the show by Free, well, anyway, he was in the studio, one of my guests, didn't buy it. And he said, no, you know, these two can't, they're not allowed to sleep at night, as though that was, a reasonable thing. But you can't arrest them for sleeping during the day, at least, and you can't, they're not in contempt of this injunction. And we were successful in fighting that. We had a meal like we're going to have tomorrow on the steps of the courthouse. We had people come into court and watch the proceedings, and hopefully they'll do the same. You folks will do the same with the Becky Johnson's case tomorrow, though there is a chance, even after our meal and all the publicity we're putting out, that the case will be continued because the attorneys are asking to be continued. And we'll see if Judge Ariadne Simons, who does not have a good record for paying a lot of attention to defendants' rights in cases I have seen and experienced, we'll see what she says in Department 1. And you can, too, if you come along. Let's hear some more. Actually, I wanted to talk a little bit about this marijuana initiative which made the ballot. And it's... I think it's unfortunate. I don't think I have the story in today's paper. Actually, it's in all three papers, Mercury News, the Sentinel, and the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm going to have to do a little of this from memory. The initiative gives the cities and municipalities and, I guess, municipalities and other jurisdictions the right to tax and regulate the sale of marijuana, which I think is not necessarily the best thing, but it's going to be one of the selling points. And it's being opposed by sheriff's organizations and police organizations. And it appears, according to the writer of the Chronicle story, I think it was, might have been the Sentinel story, right in the Mercury News story, that the amount of money that's being put into this campaign, for once on the legalization side, is going to be more than that opposing it, because although it may not be coming from all those marijuana dealer growers and dealers up in Mendocino who are going to lose money if marijuana becomes legal, the price is going to drop because more people are going to be able to buy it with less fear and to grow it and to sell it and to cultivate it. The arguments against it that are that, oh, it'll be more available, it's a gateway drug, it'll certainly be more available. Is it a gateway drug? Well, I thought the old argument that marijuana leads to heroin is just not, that one died about 40 years ago. There's the argument that, it may not be as bad as alcohol, but any abuse of marijuana, is not a good thing. And certainly it's true that abuse of anything is not a good thing. There is the claim that it's going to be more accessible to the young people if it's legal. But I don't know if that's even necessarily true. I suppose, if it depends on how frightened people are of getting marijuana illegally. And, I guess there's a certain school of thought that says, scare them away and that's the way to go. It's kind of the reefer madness school of thought, I think. But the other school of thought is, educate folks and have good examples and talk about responsible use is a better way to go. There are plenty of things wrong with this initiative, too. We've had Craig Canada, local activist, with a website, which I recommend you look at, Craig, C-R-A-I-G, Canada. I think it's palmspringsbum.com. And he writes for the the examiner.com online. The initiative that's on the ballot is not the best of the four initiatives, but it is the one that made the ballot. So hopefully it'll pass. It's been too long. And the police are just, it's abusive. Police are using this to confiscate. They're using this to arrest. They're the misguided notion that they're helping society by doing this, and then they have the temptation to abuse their powers because this gives them more power. A lot of people smoke marijuana, a lot of people use marijuana, and this makes them vulnerable, particularly poor people who can't afford the medical recommendations. It's hardly worth talking about, except that our city is moving in the other direction. Recently, the Rotkin City Council unanimously voted to ban new medical marijuana dispensaries. That happened on Tuesday. I haven't got the tape on it, and I didn't see it, But I heard from someone who witnessed the tape that it was a unanimous vote, although there were some people who spoke out against it. But not one of the so-called progressives or liberals on city council voted to against this kind of nutty paranoia. Or, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, maybe Lisa Milano and Ken Sampson are paying off the council. I mean, I don't think so, but it kind of looks like the council doesn't mind creating a duopoly, a monopoly of two medical marijuana clubs that currently exist in Santa Cruz. What it really is a cowardly attitude, succumbing to police department reefer madness type mentality, NIMBYism in some neighborhoods and so forth. It's just crap. I don't know. You say, well, at the next election we can vote it out. Wouldn't that be nice? I guess if marijuana is legalized statewide, that still is going to make it hard to buy, because municipalities can ban all these little clubs if they want, or regulate them to death. So people are going to have to grow their own or travel to cities where the regulations are more reasonable, or break the law, which, of course, is what people have been doing for 40 years, and have to deal with possible punishments for it. Mendocino County, there was an interesting article in today's Sentinel. There were people, Humboldt County actually, talking about what are growers going to do once this passes. How can they find ways to make, you know, Humboldt a, you know, marijuana tourist community, kind of like Amsterdam. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert. Hello.
Hello, Robert.
Hi. John?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good. What's up?
I was reading the Santa Cruz Sentinel article, and it specifically mentioned Lynn Robinson was against having more than two dispensaries.
Well, all of them were. Every single one of them voted that way.
And I don't understand that. I really don't understand it. One thing she said is that she wants to see more dispensaries in other towns so people don't make this their marijuana stop.
Why?
I have no idea.
I mean, only unless you believe marijuana to be a menace. And see, that is, I think, I can't think of any other explanation as to why, you know, she would do that. I mean, she doesn't want to say that because that makes her look like some kind of idiot or some kind of bigot. But, of course, that's what it really is. It's sort of like you don't want to say nigger, 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 but you're actually going to, you know, pass laws that discriminate against black people. So, you know, I mean, it's crap.
I find it very curious that this whole thing is still going on. I've been smoking for 45 years.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
And, you know, I have myself well established. I pay my taxes and things like that. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me that the police would do what they're doing, the certain police would do what they're doing against legalization. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, you know, busts of marijuana for marijuana in Santa Cruz, as I mentioned previously on this show, according to the police department's own stats, are up. Went from 130 to 160 cases. They're not being monitored properly, according to the Measure K initiative that we passed, which wasn't worth much, but it was you know, mutilated even further by the city council. So this commission doesn't even look over the police reports because it's supposed to be the lowest enforcement priority in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But their arguments are, and if I can remember them, and I'll try to be fair, that, you know, marijuana is not a... I guess I think it's a bad herb for young people to use, period. And that more young people will use it if it's legal, that it will cause more expenditures of police time because more people will be using it and it'll be abused more. Those are the arguments I remember. And I think there are more, too. I mean, but it's really hard to, I'm trying to be fair about those arguments. I can't tell if there's going to be more marijuana use if it's legal. I don't really know. I suppose I don't have the stats around alcohol, which is a much more dangerous drug.
Of course.
For sure. And, you know, the argument obviously didn't fly with the American people around alcohol prohibition. That doesn't mean, however, that alcohol prohibition was wrong. I mean, some would have argued, and some did, that the less people died from alcohol poisoning, less people died from alcohol abuse under Prohibition in the 20s. And I don't know what the stats are, but I've heard those arguments. And, you know, it's easy to say, Prohibition failed, marijuana prohibition should fail. And I use that argument, but I have to honestly say I don't have the figures to, you know, really carefully make that argument in a substantial way. But I tend to do it anyway, you know.
Yeah.
So,
Robert, our federal government was actually responsible for killing, I think they estimated 10,000 people during Prohibition. And you know how they did it? They spiked the alcohol that they were going to distill into a drinkable alcohol with some sort of poison to it. And they knowingly did it, and their excuse was, well, they're breaking the law, and they deserve it.
Now, where do you get this information from, John?
This was on, I don't remember whether it was on, the normal site, but it was on a site that a lot of the information rings true to what I understand, and it was backed up by other people. Remember the spraying of paraquat?
Yeah, under the Nixon administration, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
apparently that may well be true, and problems with throat cancer and things of that nature. But again, the thought was we are going to eradicate the drug. And the people who are using it are doing it illegally, so we don't really care about that.
Right. Well, the real question we have is, what can we do to end the drug war in Santa Cruz so we can get some realistic, you know, solutions instead of it being, you know, a nice bully pulpit for those who want to, you know, move backward into the 18th century and establish more repressive penalties and so forth and more police power. And I think we need to... I don't know. Well, we need more voices speaking up, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, protests and demonstrations, I think, are a good idea. Demands that the police department release their records and stop busting marijuana people preemptively. There should be no bust for marijuana. And the city police should simply, you know, adopt the position it took towards the medical marijuana clubs in the 90s when it was illegal. But they didn't bust the Maple Street Club. You know,
yeah.
We had a club that was downtown that would now be illegal under the city's repressive zoning ordinance, say nothing about this new ban. Even before there was a ban, the Maple Street Club would have been illegal.
Yeah.
So
there's,
you know,
one thing that still is going to be troubling relative to if we do get it legalized, and that is the feds, it's still illegal.
Well, you know, it's not the feds who do most of the prosecutions. It's the state authorities. It's the DA Bob Lee, our own beautiful DA, you know, and it's the zoning people that shut down the Pacific Coast Cooperative on Pacific Avenue in 2005 and again in 2009. You know, it's not, you know, they like to point to the feds, but it's not the feds. And, you know, we have to deal with our own right-wing people who are masquerading as progressives at the city council level and at the in the staff and at the county level too.
Yeah, we just got to keep on pushing, and you know, I mean, look how long it's taken to get to this point.
Yeah, too fucking long, frankly.
Yeah,
I think so. I appreciate your, you know, raising your voice on this, and I don't know. We got to keep doing it.
Pans out. I think I want to make up that bumper sticker. Government, stop trying to protect me from myself.
Right. Well, yeah, tell it to the smoking ban people downtown, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Okay, Robert. Take it easy.
Bye-bye. Back to street interviews. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM. Call in number 427-3772. Again, a plug. You want a free breakfast tomorrow from India Joe Schultz, and we're talking about a like coffee and coffee cake-ish type breakfast, probably. Maybe some vegan stew of a tasty kind. Come to the courthouse, steps to the courthouse, and then come to hear the sinister song citation trial of Becky Johnson. It's happening at 10 o'clock in Department 1.
See, he's a good American citizen.
See you on Friday.
Hey, have a good one.
Well, I just heard an interesting tale from
a sixth-generation Santa Cruzan, or so he describes himself. He talks about how he has sort of lived in his own custom-made dwelling on property off of kind of a ways out of town. He's in his 50s or 60s. Any comments for Free Radio? Gotcha here on the street.
It's a long story.
Where does it begin?
How about if you stop that and we talk off the record?
And down on Pacific Avenue, we have a gathering of the horns.
And the problem with talking off the record is I talk to so many people, it's really hard to file it all properly. And in a way, you know, this radio show is my filing system. I put the stuff out there for people who want to follow up on any of these things or express their own thoughts and feelings on it, and that's what happens. And if people choose not to talk, well, then at least it doesn't get out here.
Looks like a trumpet, a saxophone, a drum, and a guitar, all seated illegally within, goodness, 10 feet of a change-making machine. Dreamcatcher is shaking it up to the rhythm here. And Peter is standing by, our very own saxophonist himself.
They're sitting on the ground, keep going to a change machine. They got to move 26 steps that way.
There's really a criminal element here downtown.
Oh, they're going to get trouble. They're all going to get carted. They're all going to find out if they got warrants. And then if someone's not taking care of business, they will get arrested.
And that seems to be the prediction from Deadly Dream Catcher.
No, I'm not deadly yet. You guys are going to get the rest.
Arrest them, that's what I say.
Was that the reaction I was expecting?
I got my green on.
Hey, there's a lot of...
Illegally sitting within 50 feet of an ATM machine.
Right, you're got to be...
Illegally with an open guitar case.
And this is, I think there's a bunch of folks on either Wednesday night or Thursday night a week ago in front of Borders playing not late at night, but moving on, I think, 9 or 10 o'clock at night, probably before the 10 o'clock line when the noise standard becomes much more sensitive because, you know, reasonably most people are trying to sleep and at that time. Interestingly enough, I had some conversations, I think, with Sergeant Harms, one of the beat sergeants downtown, who showed up, and he's it was under his jurisdiction that a lot of the street performers face this kind of strange heckler's veto, as I call it, on music and drumming downtown. Not to say that, you know, people who are residents and merchants and even other performers shouldn't have a chance to say, whoa, you know, you've been here, you know, I hear the same damn beat and it's too loud for me. We used to have the voluntary street performers guidelines, which had people actually talking to each other, or at least that was the preferred system, and if people really didn't like it, they would tell you, and this kind of people agreed to move on after an hour. Now we have a situation where the police are using what's called the unreasonably disturbing noise law. We talked about that earlier in the show. Again, that law, which is really, it's described in those three words, unreasonably disturbing noises. Disturbing noises are not enough. They have to be unreasonably disturbing, not necessary in connection with the activity done after 10 o'clock at night that are, you know, where the standard is. It has to be, you know, such to cause physical pain almost or physical discomfort. You can't just be too loud for you. It's not sufficient for that to be the case. But the real issue is how loud is too loud, you know? If a police officer can't say, then how can anyone have a standard about that? Is it the case whenever somebody from a building complains, the cops will say move along and that's that? You can't say I'll stay here and play more quietly. That's really the issue that's going to be coming up tomorrow at Becky Johnson's trial. It's particularly important when you're doing political protests, because the songs you're singing are not just, you know, for your own commercial or even artistic benefit, though art and commerce are an important part of the downtown. But they're also for, you know, raising ideas on the street and protesting bad conditions that we need to be able to hear about. And when we can't hear about them because one heckler can drive you away, which is what Becky Johnson got a $445 ticket for, we are in a situation where there's a lot of silence. Becky Johnson has not been out on the street singing for the last 2 months. Neither have other street performers who've heard about this. So for those who like the silence on the streets, or who want only non-political music, or who have decided that the Bookshop Santa Cruz area, even though it's supposed to be a free speech zone, is an area that they can keep free of daytime political singing, that's great. For the, I think for a sizable segment of the community, that's not so great. And I encourage people to come to court tomorrow at 10 o'clock in Department 1. And perhaps the meal at 9:30 if you want to chat with folks out front. Becky will probably be there to talk, maybe even to sing, who knows. So, this is some pretty loud music downtown, saxophone music. It was at night. I was kind of surprised that it went on for so long. And Sergeant Harms, I think, eventually showed up and said, you know, we've got complaints. And most always, the street performers just leave. They don't even argue about that. They're glad that they didn't get a ticket. They're glad they were warned, and they move on. And you might say this is a good system. And to some extent, in some circumstances, it might be. But it's not a good system if the person needs to be there for other reasons, and if they're not playing unreasonably loud. But the police officer acts as though the only option they have is to leave, which is what Officer Schoenfeld did with Becky Johnson and the rest of us who were doing a protest in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz, and had done many a time over the last 2 or 3 years. This time, however, we got tickets for doing it, even though we weren't doing anything different. The only person who was complaining was somebody who wanted to sleep upstairs and so complained about our music, which was sporadic. We were only there for about an hour and a half. I think it had gone on, started at 1:30 and went on until the police interrupted at around 3, and we were only going to schedule to go until 3:30 anyway. We were essentially getting petitions signed around the issue of the sleeping ban and police harassment downtown, ironically. Anyway, come on down tomorrow if you want to see more about this and talk more about this. And let's hear some more on the streets from the street sounds.
Arrest them all, that's what I say.
No, I think you're doing fine. You can stay exactly where you are. I think you're doing fine. But, you know,
really, I've been moved.
Yes, well, it's
by those nice people in the yellow.
Yes. Well, what's your name, Saxon?
My name is Gavin.
Gavin, I'm Robert. This is a free radio quickie.
Howdy.
Howdy. That man is additionally sitting illegally on the lip of a planter, shockingly enough.
It's a
serious crime. Well, comfort isn't where we're at, son. Go to a pay cafe if you want to be comfortable.
It's only if you have a quote display device.
No, you can't sit down with it. But I think you should, whatever the law says, what does your conscience say? Use the public spaces is what
it says. It was earlier this year, we were actually doing we had a canvas out, and we were having people come by and paint on it. And we got disbanded.
Oh, really?
Why? Because people would have to come and they'd have to crouch down in front of this painting in order to work on it. And
where was this situated?
I think it was, if not this bench, another of some benches. You know, there's a guy sitting on the bench holding a canvas, and there's a guy, you know, people come by and want to paint in front of it. No.
Here, should we,
no, that's such luck.
Should we do our jazz thing?
Well, I don't think I can do that.
Not.
You know, I wish you'd brought my horn.
And here you hear it.
I asked you.
And I was pretty emphatic, yes.
This is the musicians match and mingle. This is the kind of internal turmoil that musicians have, trying to decide what to do next. The reproaches. Well, again, we've been talking to
Gavin
and
Jacob.
Keep up that horn work, gentlemen.
Oh, here, can we play a little jazz piece right now?
Yeah, well, let's do it.
Let's hear the jazz.
Yeah,
jazz it up, guys.
Quick little riff.
like to point out, they're now standing, cowardly dogs that they are. They've risen from a seating position.
Let's make sure we get police officer approval here.
Yes.
Yo.
How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
You'll love this next two. I don't know. We'll find out. We hope you can join in. If you got a kind of kazoo or something, you can.
You'll love this. It's very catchy.
I am definitely musically challenged.
I don't know about that. Now, come on. Let's not put ourselves down.
No instrument. Zero.
Well, there's always a first time.
This is an officer. I think it's Officer Inouye who's arrived, and we're making jokes with him.
That's a beautiful black.
All right, let's go for it. All right. One, two,
gentlemen.
Three.
You take care of yourself. Musings of
Jacob
and
Gavin.
Thank you, gentlemen. All right, I'm talking.
Do that with that musical background.
Unfortunately, yes. So I'm talking with
Peter Nelson.
Peter, you have your bike with you. You say that you, who look to be at least as old as I am, if not older,
70 plus. You know.
And you are. You've been told by the authorities. Scolded in no uncertain terms about riding your bike on the sidewalk. Is that correct?
Indeed, yes.
And at the metro, even though there was there were very few...
There was nobody. One person only.
It could have been a menace. And you could have been, you could have, for example, gone into a blackout and then suddenly done through a time warp, and then suddenly you'd be in a crowd causing problems.
Never happened.
Well, yeah, but it might be a possibility.
No, that's remote.
That's the problem. You've got to have more imagination. That's why these laws are made, to protect people like you of limited imagination.
I have more imagination than you can believe. I'm only about 550 on the IQ scale.
So you're a big imaginative dummy? Is that what you're saying?
Well, sometimes I am dumb.
Yeah.
You know.
But anyway,
I'm a victim of my own kindness. I got money, and they Mickey pin me and take my money.
Interesting. So have you gotten any citations from the police?
No, not really. Uh-uh.
Well, maybe they like your genteel look and your elderly manner.
Well, I'm conduct myself as a gentleman, always. You know.
Sure.
You know, of course, my friend.
So, but you have noticed a certain amount of scolding going on, eh?
Mm-hmm. What do you expect?
Open container, although a very small open container, actually. Taking a shot of old granddad. Is that
one me?
Yeah, I may have to contact a policewoman. Is she a policewoman? Probably not. Anyway, we've been talking with
Peter Nelson.
Anything you want to conclude with, Peter, before I meander on?
No, I'm just I'm a little perturbed because I went to the Social Security office. You know, I get my working man Social Security. And so I was over on Monday, and I met Eleanor. She was very nice and everything.
Yeah.
And went through all the stuff. And she said, well, Wednesday you'll have a check. I said, which one? She said, this one. That was the day before. You know,
your check is overdue by how much?
Well, it was supposed to be there today at the post office.
Today is Wednesday. We're talking about next Wednesday, then.
No, this Wednesday. Today.
It was supposed to be due today, but she said you'll have it by next Wednesday?
No, she said this Wednesday, today.
Okay, well, don't get cranky with me.
Well, I'm a grumpy old man, and I'm entitled to it. I've earned my title to it.
Yeah, so what are you saying? Are you saying that she's saying it's supposed to be here today?
The thing of it is, I figured it out. I went in there, and I went down where you get the passport, and I talked to the lady there, and she went there, no, not here. And I see a big barrel full of junk mail. I mean, they got to go through all of that crap, and that's what delays everything. I mean, there's tons and tons of that stuff being shipped out, and it ought to be 86, you know. Hey, if I want a catalog, I'll write and ask for one. You know, I don't want 100 of them in my belt.
Advertising, my son, is the lifeblood of the American civilization. What do you want to do?
That's not my style.
Cause these fine stores to close down? The lights would twinkle out on Pacific Avenue.
Well, they're darn near twinkled out already. People from all corners of the world, Europe and every place else, they come here to vacation because, hey, it's like shopping at the 99-cent store compared to paying $20 for a cup of coffee in Tokyo.
I suppose. Although, it feels like it's pretty expensive here as well.
Well, no, I get my senior citizens McDonald's coffee for 75 cents.
Right, but there are no... Well, there's, I guess there's a Taco Bell on Pacific Avenue, but,
yeah, but
Kentucky Fried is leaving town. No more Kentucky Fried on Mission.
Well, what in the world?
Got me. I don't know. I read it in the business section of the Sentinel today.
Oh, you're kidding. I like it. They're good.
I haven't eaten there for many a moon, but I like, grilled chicken anyway, and fried chicken is crunchy, so...
The crunchier the better,
Well, thank you for this.
I used to live at Catalina Island all through the 60s and 70s, commercial diver, all that stuff, construction, everything. And anyway, there was a boat there that was owned by Kentucky Colonel, That was his boat, back in the early 60s.
Sorry I brought it up, but thank you very much for... Enlightening me on the scene at the, for a bikester on the sidewalk and all the other stuff. Keep me advised of what's going on because we need to know. I mean, America, or at least Santa Cruz, needs to know.
We need to wake these monkeys up and tell them to pay attention in class and make their proper voting.
Right.
Years ago, I asked my wife, I said, Deanna, so who are you going to vote for? That was 1961.
And you said, who gives a shit?
No. She says, I'm going to vote for Jack Kennedy. I said, why?
Because they want more troops in Vietnam.
Because I think he's cute.
Ah, yes.
Get a load of that.
There you go. Well,
that's his mentality.
Well, you know what I say? Ronald Reagan has been my candidate for years.
I like old Reagan. He was dynamite. And I'm proud of
Particularly
Obama.
Particularly for the Sandinistas.
Oh, yeah, but I'm proud of Obama and Hillary Clinton.
The Afghanis certainly appreciate the getting the shit kicked out of them by those people.
What did you do, man? Becomes president in a big cesspool of what?
The commander-in-chief can withdraw the fucking troops, and he's not doing it, man. That is what he's doing.
Well,
he's escalating the war. That is what he is doing.
No, he's not escalating.
Oh, for sure. Afghanistan troops have doubled in the last year.
Yeah.
In fact, they've tripled. I'm not quite sure, but they've gone up a significant amount.
We have the biggest military force in the entire world.
And he has the biggest military budget ever. So Obama is creating a huge military and maintaining it. You madman! You supporter of the Fuhrer!
No, the jets...
Shoot him, folks.
I mean, there's billions of dollars in jets flying around.
We'll leave this conversation. Anyway, any final words? Because I'm going to...
I don't know. Next vote, I'm going to vote for Mickey Mouse.
Mickey could be a much better candidate than either of the idiots that ran last time. So I'm in Pizza My Heart talking with...
Katie.
Chris.
Erica.
Safari.
And you folks are out on the town. Are you local or out of town?
We live like an hour away.
And what brings you all to Santa Cruz?
Santa Cruz is the shit. Can I say that on the radio?
Of course. On free radio, you can.
Okay.
You fucking can, as we say on the air. So what specifically? You come here for the great pizza, the wonderful radio broadcaster guys who show up with tape recorders.
Nature walks, hikes, stuff like that.
The ticket.
The beauty, the scenery. It's beautiful here.
He doesn't know. He's a little bewildered. I can see that. Have you had any problems with the police here?
No, not yet.
Where are you from?
Originally a place where we have problems with the police.
So what about where you're living now?
Now? Like in the valley, but we're...
Yeah, the cops suck there.
Yeah. But we're from Virginia, where the cops really suck.
So Santa Cruz police get high marks, or you don't see much of them?
Haven't really seen them. They've been on... No, we haven't really seen much of them, which is a good thing.
Well, I spend a lot of time on my show criticizing police conduct and also reporting instances of harassment against poor people and homeless people. So I get a lot of that. So. But this will be on the air tomorrow in case you want to hear yourselves. And again, we've been talking with...
Safari.
Erica.
Chris.
And Katie.
There you go. So earlier in the evening, and we're still talking Wednesday evening the 17th, I had a fairly lengthy badinage exchange, kind of chitter-chatter, with Sergeant Harms downtown near the New Leaf Market. And Sergeant Harms, of course, is the beat sergeant for part of the day shift, I think, or I guess in this case it was the night shift. And we began discussing unreasonable noise because he...
He was down on Pacific Avenue. There were some fairly loud trumpet players down there, although we were before 10 o'clock, when the noise curfew law becomes more intense. And he claimed that the police department policy is taking all complaints for unreasonable noise and essentially letting the courts sort it out, not requiring a probable cause standard, because how do we know? We weren't there. The citizen knows. But I pointed out to him that obviously there are other witnesses, and it's not unreasonable to ask a police officer to investigate the area, whether there's somebody else who thinks it's unreasonable or somebody else who thinks it's reasonable. And, of course, I was referring back to an incident that happened to me and three other people in a political protest where we were singing the song Downtown in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz back on January 6th and got citations. And we felt it was a false police report. But the officer, who was perfectly willing to not just take the complaints against us and give us citations, would not take our complaints against the citing party and give that person a citation for a false police report. Now, Sergeant Harms pointed out that one of these unreasonably disturbing noises is an infraction, the other is a misdemeanor, for which an arrest is possible. And I kept pointing out, possible, but you do not have to arrest. You can cite in either case. He didn't seem to dispute that. He did agree to get back to me around the standards around unreasonable noise and whether there is a specific set of infractions that a police officer is not allowed to cite for herself or himself if they see a so-called crime happening, but they need a third party to do it. That's one question I had. That's become an issue in the Lie Law controversy in San Francisco, where...
This is all very interesting, and for me, but for all of you who are waiting to hear a little old-time music from Uncle Dennis and the Cream of the Dregs, it's blah, blah, blah. But it is actually very important. But the bottom line here with Sergeant Harms is he said he was going to get back to me in January, and it is now March. This conversation was a week ago, and he still hasn't gotten
back.
He has been busy, for sure. But, he's a busy man, that Sergeant Harms, busy giving away tickets of this kind to people who are engaging in musical performances but don't know if there's any standard about what they can and can't do. We'll see how that flies.
Can't do anything, Robert. This is Santa Cruz.
Oh, Uncle Dennis, you are such a negative man. I'm going to turn the show over to Mr. Negative. Let's go back to the past and drink ale. The Cream to the Dregsy guy, Uncle Dennis, who will be with you for the next 3 hours. I'll be back. Oh, you can find me tomorrow giving away coffee cake downtown at 9:30 in front of the court, probably singing bad songs if my throat isn't too sore. Also, I'll be back on Sunday. Actually, you might want to try to pie me on Saturday at the Free Radio Benefit if I'm not sure.
I have to stand in line.
And apparently, that would be nice if anybody shows up with any money in their pockets, just a bunch of vengeful cheapskates likely to be there, but we'll see. Thanks for being with me in this edition of Bathrobes, Bears, Broadsides. I would like to do it for a more meaningful kind of thing, but who knows? Maybe I'll take a pie, depending on the flavor. Now, we have to kind of talk about that, but we'll get into that later. You can come to the Free Radio Benefit.
Custard pie.
I've heard about cow pies, and I don't know about that. I think that might be a little difficult to stomach in this case. The show's running over, but I'm running out. So thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrobes, Bears, Broadsides. And I'll be back sooner than you think, Sunday morning, perhaps at 9:30.
Can you put your hands together for this?
Thank you.